If you would turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus, and that's the third chapter, the third book. Thank you. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, it's the third book in the Bible at the beginning. And Leviticus chapter 25. And this message is entitled, The Year of Jubilee. The Year of Jubilee. Hallelujah. Will you pray with me? Father God, Lord, you gave this word to me. I pray, Lord, that you now, Holy Spirit, you would confirm by your presence in it, Lord, and by the power in it, you would confirm the truth of this word. I thank you, Lord, you'll anoint our hearts to hear, Lord. Anoint them to hear and then to receive it and to rise up. I thank you, O God, that you alone can do this for us, so we look to you alone to do it. Lord, we'll give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Leviticus 25. As I was saying, that when I was in Ireland last month in May, and it's a very unusual place to preach. It feels like the canopy is over, the skies are withdrawn, and that you have an open heaven. It seems like when you stand in this place that the Spirit of God is very, very felt and very, very known. That's not to say that it's a society without its problems, without its tensions, without all that plagues modern society is very much alive and operating in that nation. And yet, you know, in spite of all that, it is if the hand of God and the face of God is looking down into that place in an unusual way. And it's showing in the hunger of the people and the salvations that are occurring and just the word that God is bringing to them. It seems to find a mark and be embedded in their hearts and produce a harvest of belief very quickly. But I feel this same stirring that when we go to Ireland, I feel this open heaven and this blowing of the Holy Spirit. But I also am beginning to feel it here in New York City. I feel the same stirring. And I feel in my spirit an unusual move of the Holy Spirit in this city. I feel that God is preparing his people in New York City for something that he has ordained. And scripture bears this out of an unusually fruitful and blessed time spiritually for a people and for a place. And if you will just look at with me one scripture in Leviticus 25, and that's verse 21. And that verse says, verse 21 in Leviticus 25, then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And this scripture is talking about a very special time in the physical land, the harvest time in Israel. And it's a picture of faith and obedience that when the people of Israel would follow certain laws for the physical land, they would follow these laws when in their sowing and their reaping and their plowing. God says it is going to be a very clear type for you, something that you can look upon and learn of what the Lord says I'm doing for you as a nation in a spiritual sense. In other words, you know, for us, we can see it in nature. Sometimes we see the four seasons and we understand there are seasons in life. And when he's saying to the people of Old Testament Israel, if you will obey me and you will follow me in the laws for the physical land, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do for you in a spiritual sense. So the law of the physical land that is a picture of the spiritual type of what he was doing for them at this time in Leviticus was this. It means in a agricultural cycle, for 6 years, you will work the land as you usually do. You will plow, you will plant, you will reap. But at the end of 6 years, this scripture says, but I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit bring forth fruit for 3 years. And what that meant was, in the sixth year, when they determine in their heart to follow what God says, and you read in the book of Leviticus, it will make it very clear to you. Year six, I'm going to give you an unusual harvest. In fact, I'm going to give you a miracle harvest. Because in the seventh year, it was commanded in Leviticus that there would be no plowing and planting and harvesting. Because in the seventh year of their cycle, they were not to touch the land. The land, all of it, was to remain fallow, was to remain at rest. And then in the eighth year, they would replant. But of course, replanting meant that they haven't harvested in year seven. So in year eight, when they would go to replant, they would have to eat out of the sixth year miracle harvest. And then in year nine, they would sow and reap a new harvest. And this was a real test of faith for them, obviously, because their whole life depended, their food production, their lives and the lives of their little ones, in that there would be a harvest, that they would have food to eat for the upcoming year. But God says, no, I will command a blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And this is the law of the agricultural life of Old Testament Israel. And the teaching them and the rewarding of them with a miracle harvest in the sixth year, followed by an unusual blessing. In other words, the seventh year, they were brought into a year of rest where they didn't work the land. And we know, as New Testament Christians who have a life with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, that rest always means faith. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about Christians being brought into a life of rest. Into my rest, God says. I want to bring you into my rest. That means a place of confidence in God, a place of belief, a place where your belief and faith in me grows. And then 8 years you will eat. There will still be plenty for you. And it's like this 6 years goes on as life as usual, and then 3 years where you see my hand in an extraordinary way, where your faith grows, where you enter into a period of rest that you know the Lord, he is God, that he rules and reigns over the nations and over the circumstances, that there is nothing that happens in our lives but that his hand brings it, the blessing and the withholding, and yet there is a confidence in God through this time. And Israel was in this commanded cycle of blessing that no other nation in the face of the earth knew this kind of dealing with their God. But actually, what I want to talk to you about is another unique season in the agricultural life of Israel that also shows a type, a blessing of what I want to speak about this afternoon. And it occurs, this unique season occurred in this cycle of blessing. And Leviticus 24 verse 8 talks about a year of Jubilee. And the year of Jubilee is simply this. It says that thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, and 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7th Sabbath of years shall be unto thee 49 years. And what this means is that those 7 years of rest, that 1 year in the 7 year of this cycle of years that was rest, when 7 of those had passed, you had 49, 7 times 7, 49 years passing. And it means the year after that, the 50th year, was going to be known as the year of Jubilee. And every 50 years, a special year in the life of Israel, for most, a once in a lifetime event, would occur in their lives, known as the year of Jubilee. And in verse 9 it says, then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, and ye shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And verse 10, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. And so here we have every 50 years that there was going to be an unusual year where God says that I proclaim this year, it hallowed means set apart, take it to heart and consider it. There, every 50 years, there is going to be an unusual year of blessing where it says that you are going to be able to proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants. and it happened in this year of Jubilee. And when we look in the book of Leviticus, it explains to us just what happened to Israel in that year of Jubilee. And the first thing was the land was turned to rest, as we know. And that is a picture of a nation that God has a commanded year or a commanded season where there is going to be large numbers of people turning to faith. And then faith sort of fills the land. A God hunger, if you will, comes over a land in an unusual way in this year of Jubilee. It also talks about debts being canceled. And that's a picture of salvation, where we as human beings and citizens of this nation, we have a debt we cannot pay. And that a debt is canceled in that we have a sin debt to pay. And God himself reveals himself and says, I will pay your debt. If you look to me through my son, I will pay your debt. And you can be at peace with me and have a relationship with me. And we come to the Father through the Son with the sin debt paid. So the debts are canceled in Jubilee. And at the end, there's an end of perpetual servitude. Anybody who was a slave throughout the land, at the 50th year, everyone who was a slave, everyone a slave, a handmaiden who was under servitude, in the 50th year, it doesn't matter if you bought that slave in year 49 or they have been in slavery for 49 years. In the 50th year, everyone who is a Hebrew, who is a child of God, goes free. There will be no slaves in the year of Jubilee. That means that perpetual servitude will not be known in the house of God. And it speaks about a time in the house of God where the oppression of the enemy's rule to oppress with fear, to oppress with unbelief, to oppress with things of the mind and in the spirit, where there is a season where God says that I will move by my spirit in an unusual way. And the oppression of the enemy will be broken. And multitudes, multitudes in this season of Jubilee come into a God awareness. And I believe that we are fast approaching a year of Jubilee in this city. I believe that the messages that have been coming forth from here and in places all over the city, that God himself is stirring. That God himself is starting to speak to us and to create a life of faith in us where we're being told to look away from every other source, but Christ is our life, where we've got to put down all our visions of what it is to be religious and what God requires or what we're doing for him or being overcome by fear in this age and look to Jesus Christ as we never have before. And he says, in a year of Jubilee, in my season, when I command it, it's not something you and I work for. It is in the heart of God and in the seasons of God to visit Old Testament Israel. And now because we are in Christ, there are seasons when God likewise moves by his choice, at his choice, to move upon a people. And as surely as I feel it in Ireland when I go there, and I begin to see the effects of it, where it's not just positive preaching and people just responding to some words, but truly a move of the Holy Spirit, where you see people beginning to want to know what it is to have the sin broken off in their lives, and what it has to have something real and vital with God, where they're not interested anymore in just making a living, but they want to have a life. They want to have a life in God. They want to know why God created them and why he saved them, why he called them. They want to be filled with courage and purpose. They want to be filled with his spirit. They want the shackles of the fear of man and society broken off them, that they can begin to move in the spirit of God and be able to be a blessing to their generation, be able to care for people, to be able to love people, be know what it is to move in a freedom in their own soul that they can give to people and to see them come alive because they're full of life and life is created all around them. And we get addicted to knowing what it is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what it is to be a blessing to people, to care about people, to be able to speak life into them. And this is the year of Jubilee. It is God himself who says, I will stir the waters and I will choose and move among the people. And I'm beginning to feel it for New York City. Where God says, you know, I think when a word like this is preached, it's like, oh, this is almost too much. And one of the reasons why it's almost like a word we would resist strangely enough is the thought is, if if this is a time, I hope I don't blow it. I hope that I know who I am, and I hope that if God is moving, that I will somehow, that seems like a lot of pressure. But beloved, may I say, as we read in this Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, that it is God himself that commands a blessing. He says, I will command my blessing upon you. This is my choice. This is of God, not of us. It is a commanded time. But beloved, I'm thinking, it says the year of Jubilee in verse 9. We will cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound in the Day of Atonement. And you and I, believers in Christ, are going to be able to be given power to sound a trumpet call, to sound a Day of Atonement. And when I think about that, it's like, what does this mean? What is that verse saying to us? And it's saying to me that we are going to be able to speak to people. We were going to be given power to speak to people. And we are going to see them understand what we are saying, and that they are going to move into salvation, and that their life is going to be changed. But beloved, what is it are we living? And what is it that we are preaching that is going to cause this voice of Jubilee, that our voices to be heard perhaps when they had not been heard before? And I believe that what is going to happen is that God, even now, is beginning to make this message of Jesus Christ clearer and clearer to us, because we're going to move into the experience of it. We're not going to be content just to live on the fringes, on the outside of a glorious salvation. That God himself is going to stir the water in us and cause us to want to know what a supernatural life in God is. That you and I are going to be preached a Day of Atonement. That you and I are going to know what it is to walk through this city so aware of how forgiven we are, of how cleansed we are, because we keep looking to Christ. We're going to be able to tell people that I have a peace in me. I am not ruled by the terror by day and the pestilence by night. When everyone's worried about the economy and will they have a job and where will they live, you and I will be tapping into the supernatural life of Christ. He will be our peace, and we will draw on this life that he gave us, that it is in us. And we are going to know when fear wants to rise in us, we say, Lord, I thank you that you see right now there's a battle in my mind. And I thank you, Lord, that I just lay it at your feet. I thank you, Lord, for a besetting sins that seem to so easily come upon me. I thank you, Lord, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep returning to a mercy seat. I'm going to keep returning to your love. I'm going to keep returning to your cross. Because at the cross where your blood flows, you promise the forgiveness of sin and the cleansing of sin. You promise to break the power of sin over my life. And I'm not going to be kept away from this power of a new life that comes only through you. And you and I are not going to be turned away from coming to him as many times as a day as we need to, because he is going to put his life in us, his mind in us, and we are going to be changed. We are not these old fortresses of unbelief and fear, of unforgiveness are going to tumble down. The enemy is going to try to set a new terror upon the church where he says you will never rise above the level of just living a little hidden life and get a little blessing for yourself. No, there's an hour of Jubilee coming where God himself says that people are going to be hungry for salvation. The land is going to be yearning for a rest, because people are going to be running to and fro like sheep, terrorized, looking for a place of refuge. And you and I will have found it in Jesus. We will have given him our fear. We will have given all that binds society, and he will meet us every time we cry out to him. The scripture says, I love the Lord because he heard me. And church, he's going to hear you. He's going to hear me in a new way. It's a time of Jubilee. where it is a year of rest, a season of rest for the household of God, in the sense that our faith, God is going to richly feed us in the sixth year, and we're going to be able to move into an era, a time of faith like never before. It is not because we've made promises to God or all of a sudden we become super Christians. No, we know who we are in ourselves, but we know God is good, and He's ordained something in New York City. He's seen the violence in the streets. He hears the cries at night. He knows the drug addicted. He knows the hopelessness of the hour. And He is a God who is good, and He loves, and He's preparing a people to stand up. And what used to hold them before won't hold them anymore, because they've experienced their year of Jubilee, where we've moved into, we've been richly fed in the sixth year, and we move into a place of faith because our God says it's time, and He's going to stir us to rise. We are going to give Him the sin. We're going to give Him the unbelief. We're going to resist the devil, find out that he's a chain dog. He cannot block our path, and we shall go through. Hallelujah. When the enemy wants to condemn us, we're going to say, enemy, it's my year of Jubilee. The debt is canceled. It's been paid. You can't oppress me with this. I asked Jesus to forgive me, and He forgave me. I resist you. I don't walk with these thoughts anymore. I've come to the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses me, and it goes to the deepest, most horrific sin. There is no pit so deep He is not deeper still, that His blood does not reach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no place where you and I can make our bed in hell, in the hell of depression, in the hell of rejection, in the hell of wrong thoughts about ourselves, that He does not visit every corner of hell with a key, with His blood, with His life. Hallelujah. Where He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've been waiting for you silently in my love all your life. And now I have visited you with my salvation in my life. I'm going to break the chains of darkness, the generational chains. I'm going to break the poverty of spirit. I'm going to put a courage in you, and you're going to find your life in me. It won't be making a living. It'll be about my life. Hallelujah. And the end to that perpetual servitude where you and I have been shut down by a fear of man and fear of the future and fear of the neighborhood and fear of everything else. Our God will come to us in the year of Jubilee. And can I say, it's dawning. That time is dawning. It is fast approaching. Hallelujah. It's going to be a time of unusual spiritual blessing and an unusual spiritual harvest led by the Spirit of God. And may I say, lovingly, as a mother in Israel, some of you need to experience the glory of God in your soul. You need to experience the moving of God in your being that cuts the ropes and cuts everything that binds you to this earth and the thinking of men. There is a new life and a new mind promised us, where you and I can know the mind of God and the love of God, where we can cut what ties us to the earth, and we can sail in the salvation ship. We can head out to the high seas, knowing every storm that comes to us, we will make it. We will ride the storm in the safety of that ship of Jesus in our boat, who will cause us to walk on water and return. We shall go to the other side with a boatload of people. Hallelujah. But we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, ask Him to fill you. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is separate from salvation. If you look in your Bible, if you read and ask God to show you, we first come to Christ and we say, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Oh, I thank you that the only relationship that the Father is offering me, the only way I can have this relationship is through the Son, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come to Him. Sometimes we never really understand what we're doing. We just know that our heart is open and we feel compelled. It's something that we've wanted to do. And when by faith, not fully, just a little tiny mustard seed of faith in our heart, we come to Him. And he receives us. The God of the universe receives us. Our Father in heaven receives us. Our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and cleanses us and makes us new, receives us. And the Holy Spirit lives in us. As evidence, God has received us. But there is another experience secondary to this, and it is called being filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is a second, it's like an endowment of power. It is a second work of grace that God does in the life of a believer. And what we need to do is come and say, oh God, I thank you. You show me in the book of Acts that there was a group of people that truly were saved and loved you. But you filled them. According in Acts chapter 2, you filled them with the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Carter and I were talking today, and he said to me, you know, the people in the book of Acts, they didn't have this incredible history of faithfulness. They didn't have this perfect witness. I mean, it was the apostles in that upper room. That was, you know, Thomas who didn't believe him, and John who ran away, and Peter who denied him. This is a group of people that up till this point hadn't had this incredible, fearless, and bold testimony for Christ. It had been, at best, a hit and miss affair, that they stayed around in a fair weather faith, but when times got tough, they left. But Christ did not reject them. Christ had a better plan. Christ had a year of jubilee for them. Christ had something planned. He chose them for this moment. And beloved, may I say, we've been chosen for such a time as this. We haven't earned and we haven't deserved the goodness of God and the grace and the mercy that is ours. But we never ever give up in coming boldly to the throne of grace, there where we will get help in time of need. We come boldly to a throne of grace because the mercy seat is at that throne of grace. And we come and we say, Lord, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need an Acts chapter 2 experience that you promise to every believer in Christ, where you say that you will fill them with the Holy Spirit and you will endue us with power. You will fill us with a kind of power where all of a sudden, you know, when Christ comes into our heart, we want to do good. We want to please him. We want, and it may just be a small measure in our heart, but it's evidence God is with us because we have new desires that we didn't have before. But now when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like God takes the measure of the Spirit that we have at salvation. But then he gives us this incredible endowment, this filling to capacity of the Holy Spirit, and you will never be the same. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you will never be the same. And it is your privilege. It is your privilege to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is your right and your privilege in your year of jubilee, where God promises an unusual spiritual blessing on a land and a place, that you can come boldly to the throne, to a mercy seat, and say, oh God, you say in your word, he was saying to the people of Israel, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? How much more shall he give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? It's that simple. Did you ask for salvation? In some way, did you come saying, oh God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. I don't know if you'll accept me or not, but he did. That you came and you asked and you received. In the like manner, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You come and you ask your Heavenly Father, who knows how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. And those that are asking for the Holy Spirit, it's, Lord, that I may rise up in my generation, that I may walk, oh God, able to be of another spirit, the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you can speak to me, that I know what you want me to do, that I can say something and it breaks darkness, that I can respond not in like kind, that I can be kind, that I can give, that I can be generous. People will notice when you're full of the Holy Spirit. People will notice when the Holy Spirit is operating through you, and that convinces them that something is going on. That there's a power they've never felt before, and it's coming from you. And they know it's not you, yet they know it's you. They've never seen a better you. It is not coming from the human heart, but it is coming from a divine heart. And it doesn't react like the same spirit that animates them. That is the spirit of the world and the spirit of the flesh and the spirit of the devil. It's nothing of that. It's of another spirit, and they recognize it. And you and I lose our fear. We lose and we get addicted to walking in the glory of God. We need to know the glory of God in our souls. Well, all of a sudden, nothing else satisfies us but that we know him and we walk with him. And he walks with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I say that New York City is going to know a shaking and a moving of God. I say that there are going to be many who are sitting in this place that are going to say, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to rise up in my generation. I want you, oh God, to live in me. I want to be obedient to all that you want. I'm going to trust you now to break down the walls of unbelief. I'll trust you to break down the fear in me. I'll trust you, oh God, to do what is ever necessary. But God, you will be God in me, and you will not fail me. You will cause me to rise up in resurrection life, and I will be another voice. I will be another person. Beloved, that is what has happened to me 30 plus years ago. I got saved. Shortly, 2 years later, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And it has been a process, a journey, where God has taken me, where I was overcome by the fear of man, to a place where I'm addicted to knowing his presence and loving him and wanting to change. Every day, wanting to change. I'm not afraid when I get convicted. I'm not afraid when the Lord shows me I need to change. I want to change. By the grace of God, I'm not defensive anymore. I can hear about myself and where I need to change. I don't have to give an argument. I just call on Jesus and say, do what only you can do. Change me for your glory. 30 plus years saved. But can I tell you, in a year of jubilee, in this cycle of blessing, that the harvest of the sixth year is rich enough to keep you through for 3 years? Can I say, in this unusual time of blessing, what have taken many of us decades and decades to come to, that there is a time and a season where God will speed up the process, the journey of faith. He will deepen you. He will take you to the deep waters where you must call in his name. And you will. And you will be visited by the power of God. You will change in a speed up fashion because it's a year of jubilee. The evidence is you're going to become a person on fire for God. You're going to speak for God. You're going to speak with God. You're going to speak of God. And many are going to not just listen to you and nod. They're going to be transformed because the Holy Spirit's in your words. And I believe that the Lord is going to give a plan. He's going to give a plan to this, for this city. I believe that the Holy Spirit's going to speak to Pastor Carter, and he's going to speak to leadership. He's going to speak to people throughout this body. I say to you that God has, he's been brooding over this city for years, and he's been preparing a people that someday they're going to be like Ezekiel 37, an army. There the bone is connected to the head, not just bone connected to bone, where we have to wonder what everybody else is doing, but every bone connected to the head, and God's going to, by his Spirit, breathe upon us, and we're going to stand. An army animated by the Spirit of God, with a heart to go into this city. And we're going to go in fearlessly. We're going to go in with our eyes fixed on Christ. We're going to go in knowing, because through that year of faith, that year of rest, he is greater than any pit of addiction, anything that carries drugs or knives, anything. He's going to give us a supernatural love. And it is our love for them that's going to melt every barrier. We are going to be able to reach their soul. We're going to be able to speak to them like we've never spoken before. I tell you, God's going to put an army, and it's going to be a mighty army on its feet, and he will give the plans. But I tell you, we are going to go into Hollis, Queens. We're going to go into Jamaica, Queens. We will be found in the South Bronx and in Bedford Stuy. We're going to be on Flatbush Avenue. We're going to be on Wall Street. you're going to be on 125th Street. Hallelujah. We're going to be found there. Led by the Spirit, not by some program, not by some automatic holding out of tracks. We're going to be there by the Spirit of God. We're going to know who to speak to and how to speak to. Hallelujah. We will never feel more alive or more satisfied. We're going to cry with people and cry for people. We're going to get bruised. We're going to get some scars. And we're going to know we're alive. When you feel pain, you know you're alive. And the life in us is going to go to them. And God is not finished with this city. God is going to move by His Spirit. There is a jubilee coming to this city. I know it. It's by the Spirit. Do you want to know it? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Ask for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And don't miss the mighty river of God that is going to come through this city. It's going to be we're going to be either in or out. You know that we're going to be either carried by the river to the places He wants to take us, or we're going to be outside of it. The Lord said to Esther, deliverance is coming. He said to her, deliverance is coming. Whether you are in it or not, whether you draw back in unbelief or fear, whether you think this is too hard, whether you think I'm crazy, it doesn't matter, it's coming. Hallelujah. And the evidence in Leviticus 25:10, it says, you shall hallow, that means you shall set apart, you will consider this year of Jubilee, you will act upon it. As the Spirit of God gives you the strength, and you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. And we'll be able to proclaim it because we live it. And we've got the right message. It's going to be Jesus in a way we've never known Him and experienced Him. Hallelujah. A year of Jubilee is coming. A year is coming. And God, by His grace, He's chosen it. He's commanded it. And there are going to be many, many who are hearing what the Spirit of the Lord was saying and said, Lord, lead me on. I'm going to uncross my arms. That's protecting our heart and protecting our will. I'm going to uncross my arms and say, Spirit of God, visit me in my places of death and unbelief. Oh, God, I want resurrection life. And I would be life to my generation, because in that year of Jubilee, it becomes easy to believe. Hallelujah. 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 Will you stand with me as the musicians come? Hallelujah. 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 And the altar call is this. Lord, You have promised Your people that we would be as a sounding trumpet for the year of Jubilee. And those that feel an inner block and a resistance to this word yet know it's true. It may be the unbelief. It might be the fear. It may be the enemy's painted a picture what all this means that you have to do. No, lay it all at the feet of Jesus. He will fill us with His life to a new degree. And you come when you feel that resistance. We're going to pray now that God visit us by the Holy Spirit and fill us with the Holy Spirit. What we need to rise in this hour of Jubilee. If you will come and meet me at this altar while the musicians play. Hallelujah. Believing and being filled with the Holy Spirit is not some mystical experience. In fact, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be more clear thinking, more practical, more usable than you've ever been in your entire life. But you will be in touch with the Spirit of God. You will know His mind and His heart as never before. You will be able to be moved upon. But the scripture tells us that God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. In other words, we ask for this to be filled of the Holy Spirit, so that God can do His work in us and through us. that what is the heart and mind of God for us to do. We're found in agreement, walking with God and being used by Him as never before. So He gives the Holy Spirit so that we have a greater capacity to obey Him. So we get the orders clearer. So that we are strongly impressed when we're supposed to do things. And it will not ever be contrary to this word. And you're going to have a hunger for the Bible even more. I tell you, you're not going to be able to tear yourself away from this book. Because the Holy Spirit in you is going to be teaching it to you. And it's going to make sense to you. And then you're going to obey the prompting of God. And you're going to speak to people. And you're going to see the Word of God combined with the Spirit of God. And you're going to see God use you to touch and bless people. You're going to be more convicted as never before. You're going to have the full measure. And now, as surely as you came to God and you asked Him for salvation, you can come to Him to be asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we do the same thing as we did at salvation. We just come and ask. And we do that when we ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what we're going to do is God knows the resistance in you, and God knows the fear and the unbelief. We all have it. It's all common to man. It's not people down here who have unbelief and people here who have made it. We all struggle with it, but the Holy Spirit is sent that the Spirit of God lifts us out of our unbelief and our fear, and He strongly supports us and says, trust me, I'm with you. And we know, like we know, oh God, I can trust you. And we take that step of faith. Hallelujah. You're going to be a blessing in your generation. Will you raise your hands with me? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, Lord, you say in your word that you give the Holy Spirit to a people who ask you. You give the filling of the Holy Spirit to those who know Christ and have been cleansed by His blood. It is a second experience for those who are found in Christ. I ask you, Lord, if there are any at this place, Lord, that have not trusted you, that have not given their heart to Jesus, that they would do that even now, Lord, and you would accept them, Father, for Jesus' sake. That, Jesus, you come in and you break the power of sin. I thank you, Jesus, that you who created heaven and earth lives in us, and you subdue sin. Now, God, by your Holy Spirit, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father, you are one. I ask you now, Holy Spirit, to fill everyone at this altar who is seeking you, Lord, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that have opened their heart and have come just asking and believing. Lord, they want power in this generation. They want power, Lord, to obey you. They want power to speak. They want power over the fear and the unbelief. They want power, Lord, over the unforgiveness and all the sin that so easily besets. And I thank you, Lord, that you're our Father and you will give the good gift of the Holy Spirit, a filling of the Holy Spirit now to everyone who is asking you, Lord, as your child. And I just ask you now, Lord, to fill them. Lay your hand now, Father, on everyone that is seeking. And I just ask you now, beloved, just to open your mouths. And I just ask you now to ask your Father for the filling of the Holy Spirit. You just ask Him now. I thank you, Lord, that right now, all in this place, all over this place, Lord, you are filling people with your Spirit. Oh, Lord, it's not about how we feel. But just as we didn't feel many times when we came to salvation, you saved us. Now, Lord, you all over this place, fill people with the Holy Spirit. Fill, oh God, with the Holy Spirit. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Just begin to praise Him now and thank Him, beloved. Begin to thank Him. He hears you now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All over this place. Thank you, Lord. You are good. God, you are good. You give us the Holy Spirit because we need it. Thank you. You love to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We move by faith now and we receive it. as we receive salvation by faith. We receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit by faith. Lord, there will be evidence, Lord, for where you fill us, change comes. Thank you for the year of Jubilee now, Lord. We've preached your word and it's been received. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I thank you now. I pray for everyone who has received, oh God, that the enemy would not be allowed, oh God, to plant a lie and to say that they are deficient, that they are a second-class Christian, that they did not receive. Oh God, I pray, if we come seeking, Lord, with a heart of faith, you give us the Holy Spirit, because you know we need the Holy Spirit to make a difference in this generation, to be able to lay our lives down for you, Jesus, to know your voice, to experience your liberating love, to know that we are truly forgiven to the depths of sin, that we leave this place changed because you are in control, that, Lord, you promised to subdue the sin in us and break the power of it. Oh, God, you are Lord of it all, Lord Jesus. I thank you. You love us, Lord. And you've sent the Holy Spirit, oh God, and given him in full measure. I thank you now for this blessing upon your people, oh God. Witness now, there has been a heavenly exchange, Lord, and that the Holy Spirit has filled many here at the altar. I thank you, Lord, that all our days, Lord, you will continue to give us these fillings, Lord, that you will continue as we call on you, Holy Spirit, you will continue to fill us and move within our heart. I thank you for this. And I thank you, Lord, for what is in your heart for New York City, what is in your heart concerning us, how you want to change us and empower us to touch this city. Thank you, Lord, we're going to walk in miracles now. We're going to walk in miracles. And I thank you for this army before me, oh God, and that you've touched by your Holy Spirit. We receive it by faith in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.